Good evening, everybody. Paul Sterling here from MagicRelationship.net. And tonight's call is called Letting Love Lead, and it's actually really Letting Big Love Lead. And I kind of start with some questions, and then I'll introduce me and my co-speaker tonight. I'm totally excited that I have someone else on here that's going to be helping along the way. But I want you to think about, in your life, how many times is it the person you love the most difficult to talk to? And what do you do about that? How do you create more intimacy, compassion, understanding with the people you love? And that's what this call is going to be about. And I'm going to give you a little bit of my history, and then I'll introduce my co-speaker, and we'll hear a little of her history. Because I sure didn't start out to be a relationship coach. I started out, actually, one of my earliest businesses was being a commercial fisherman in Alaska. And I grew up in a household with an Irish dad who had a strong affiliation with alcohol and criticism. And an older brother that I fought with on a regular basis, or he fought with me. And I idealized. I really wanted to be like him because he looked like he had it figured out. He, the women loved him. He had charisma. People loved him. And I felt like the puppy that wasn't loved in that family. And then at age 25, my older brother killed himself, which sent me searching for new answers. You know, how come the person who I thought had their life perfectly together was so unhappy himself that he ended up killing himself? And I went through one divorce, two broken engagements, and at the same time, I was a top consultant for the city of Albuquerque. I traveled around the country, actually. I worked in Hong Kong, Hawaii, Alaska, Albuquerque, teaching business leaders about quality, productivity, and leadership and communication. And yet there was something that was I was still missing. There was some form of intimate, loving communication that I didn't have. And I stumbled on it when I stumbled on something called nonviolent communication, a guy named Marshall Rosenberg. And that's really what started to change my life. And I've now taught this to lots and lots of couples, but I've also taught it in jails at the Golden Jail in Golden, Colorado, or the Jeffco Jail in Golden, Colorado. I've taught there for, it's going on 5 or 6 years, had a program. And at the Naropa University, they brought me in to teach their professors. So it's kind of interesting. How does a high school dropout with not a great track record of relationships end up becoming the guy who teaches relationship communication in some pretty interesting and intense situations, along with coaching individuals and couples? So that's my story. I'm going to give you a lot of tools tonight and introduce you some different concepts. So, and with that, I want to introduce Julianne Parkinson, who is my beloved and is also a life coach, a massage therapist, a certified tantra educator. So she approaches love and relationship from a slightly different angle, but we've come to some very similar conclusions. So, Julianne, are you there?
I am here. Hello.
What would you like to say about your history and how you got here?
Well, to share initially, I come from a large Mormon family in Utah, and what was so predominant in my family was suppressing upset. There was not support for full self-expression. And so there was a lot of disconnect and lack of full love experience because of so much that was withheld and suppressed. And I have been very active in the world of relationships, particularly lover relationships throughout my life. I've been married and divorced, and I've taken on a lot of practicing, a lot of exploring and practicing of sexual love relationships, and also had my many experiences of stress and confusion, frustration, and in the process of all of that, connecting with my very deep desire to have really happy, healthy, committed, long-term partnership. And going in hot pursuit, taking on hot pursuit, studying, exploring, learning about different ways, different tools, different methods for creating this. So I, like you, Paul, as you know, have been studying, exploring many different things. Nonviolent communication is something also that I have studied, the beautiful world of holistic tantra yoga, exploring extensively in the healing arts, massage therapy, energy healing, life coaching, and have come to a collection of quite a wonderful variety of tools, and so thrilled, so grateful for the many ways in which these tools have supported me in my life, and so thrilled, so honored, and grateful to be able to share these tools with others, for anyone, everyone that's interested.
Yeah.
And so there's just great joy and fulfillment for me in supporting healing transformation on the planet. I'm a powerful advocate for, I'm regularly active in supporting people and creating more love and joy, pleasure, fulfillment, intimacy in their lives.
Yeah. And at some point in the future, we're going to do a call where I just basically interview Julianne about the whole world of Tantra and how that fits into relationships and how powerful it is in increasing the amount of love and connection and intimacy that people have in their lovemaking and in their lives and in their relationship. It's not just the lovemaking. So I'm going to start with four core principles, and there is a study guide for anybody who didn't already get it. It's at magicrelationship.net/study. And if you don't have it, it's not a big deal. I will walk you through what it is, but it's great to kind of follow along. And the way I look at it, the four core principles are the quality of someone's relationship is based on the quality of their communication and what you can and can't talk about. And before this call is over, Julianne and I will go through one of our exercises we do every night together, whether we're together or whether we're over the phone doing it over long distance. And that's just been an ongoing commitment. So the second part of this is when your communication breaks down, so does the relationship. And the problem is most people don't know how to repair that. And I've asked for questions, and there's been several questions sent in by different people about how do you repair the communication? How do you get, you know, in the middle of a conflict when both people are triggered, activated, and regressed, what's the best course of action to stop the bleeding? That was one of the questions, and we'll definitely touch on some ideas there. And number three, most relationship problems are really just communication problems. So if that is true, if number one, two, and three are true, you can tell I've got somewhat of a mathematical mind even looking at my communication here. So if A, B, and C are true, then D must be true. To improve, and in some cases save your relationship, you have to improve your communication skills. And so that's what tonight is about, is to give you some skills and also just to introduce you to some. I don't want to give you the idea that, you know, one hour call is going to transform the way you communicate for the rest of your life. It's an ongoing practice that takes a lot of work. So let me give you one sort of premise here that I like to think about. I'm a whitewater kayaker, and here in Colorado, I know we've got people on the line from Colorado, there is incredible whitewater to kayak on, and it ranges from, there's five levels. Level one is sort of a flat lake and takes very little skill, and anybody can do it. You can put a kid in a kayak that's never kayaked before, push them out, and they're going to be pretty safe. Level two is when there's some current, and there's a little bit of obstacles. You should know a bit of what you're doing. You should have a little safety gear. Level three, things get very interesting. you need to have, well, there's rocks, there's obstacles, there's current. You should have a life vest on, a helmet, and should know what you're doing, including a roll. And a roll is when you get flipped upside down. How do you flip back up? How do you right yourself? And this will all tie into relationships here in a second. Don't worry. Level four is it gets pretty intense, dangerous, scary, and it takes a lot of courage and commitment and skills, and your recovery has to be a lot faster when you're going in deeper water, scarier water, faster currents. And I'm basically pretty much a level four light kayaker. I have done level five. Level five is pretty intense, and you know, there's if you get flipped or swim, there are major ramifications are possible. And I've done level five, but I'm not a level five kayaker. Don't know if I ever will be. And how I want to tie this into tonight's call is think about your relationships and what kind of a relationship do you really want. There's people who want a level one relationship. Like the second there's any current, any upset, anything like that at all, it's, okay, this is over, I'm out of here. Level two is a relationship that can handle some level of turmoil. And with each level or intensity, you need a higher level of skill. A level three relationship, it takes a lot more courage and a lot more skill, and you need to be able to roll back over if you run into upsets. Like in my relationship with Julianne, we've talked about issues around sex, money, what else? Everything else that I can think of. And because we're both skilled in this, it's pretty, I won't say it's easy. It's been challenging. Sometimes it takes courage. But we stay committed to it and committed to making the relationship grow. So what I want to do is give you some tools that can help you go to the next level. And if you think about it, what level of a relationship do you want? How much intimacy do you want? How much understanding, compassion? Do you want a level four relationship? Do you want a level five relationship? Do you want one that's called Big Love? And where we came up with this, do you want to talk about how we came up with the title?
How did we come up with the title? I am forgetting the exact originating moment.
I think we were at your house, and we were just talking about let love lead in a conversation. And as soon as you said it, that's why I was kind of asking you, because you were the one who said it. And as soon as I heard it, it's like, wow, that is a very cool concept. Because I've been
in... It was one of those intuitive moments. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I've been in a relationship where I've let hurt feelings lead, or jealousy lead, or anger lead, or all of those other emotions, and none of them seemed to produce the results that I really wanted. They produced more anger, upset, jealousy, fear, doubt, hurt feelings. And so it was like, oh, let love lead. What would the other part of it was, there's this question out there, what would Jesus do? And it's definitely not a call about religion, but it's if you think about and take that question and change it a little bit, what would love do? You know, we're having... go ahead.
Many ways in which we could refer to this, a different language. What would Jesus do? What would Buddha do? What would love do? And then some people like to say, what would Xena Warrior Princess do? So there are a lot of different ways that we can connect with this kind of idea, but it's, of course, a focus on living from the heart, letting the heart and soul lead. And whatever that exact moment was when we came to this commitment with one another and greater clarity about how we want to support people in the world with this particular language, we were both in that kind of spirit guide or intuitive knowing that we want to take on a commitment like never before to let love lead, to live from love in our lives.
And it's, there's this quote out there that says, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Hold on a second. Sorry about that. So the quote again, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And what people, why they approach me, why I think they approach Julianne a lot, is because they wanted something to change. They wanted something to be different. And if you think about it, in relationships, there's really three main changes. There's probably 100 little subtle ones, but the three main changes people can do in a relationship, and I've tried them all. Number one is you can try to change your partner. Try to get them to change, make them change. And at least in my life, that hasn't been very fun, and it hasn't been very successful in trying to make my lover change. And when that doesn't work, what people tend to do is they change partners. Okay, this is not working. I'm not getting what I want, so I'm going to go get another partner, and that's called divorce or separation or breakup. And the third one is we can change the way we relate to our partner, change the way we communicate. If we were communicating out of fear and upset and doubt, how do we communicate out of love? How do we be powerfully vulnerable? So that's the model that I'm going to look at. And if you go to page 4, and if you don't have the handout in front of you, I will describe it. But we are going to be on page 4. It's called the Communication Star. And why I wanted to do this, I wanted to have a simple model that people could look at, because it's like as the emotions increase, our intelligence decreases. So I wanted a model that was simple enough that so maybe I could explain it to a 10-year-old. So if you look at it, I have a diamond there, and on the bottom, it's an upside-down diamond. And the bottom says valued. So if you want your lover to feel valued, I need them to feel understood. And for them to feel understood, they have to feel heard. So that's part of it. It's like I'm listening, and I want my lover to feel valued. And if I want my lover to feel valued, they have to feel understood. And if I want them to be understood, I actually have to listen at a whole different level than I normally listen. You know, I don't do, when I'm listening to Julianne and I want her to feel heard, understood, and valued, I don't go, you know, and have half my attention there. In fact, if she's talking to me and I'm distracted, I will stop her and go, wait, I really do want to hear you, so let's wait a second until I can actually focus. So that's a powerful way of looking at it. And what keeps people from hearing and understanding their lovers, they're afraid that if they hear and understand them, that will be misinterpreted as agreement. Oh, if I understand you, then that means I agree with you. And what most of us really want is we really just want to be heard and understood. Whether you agree with me or not, that's not as important. So is there anything else on the star, Julianne, that you wanted to say, or on that half of it?
I'm just trying to share that, you know, no matter what our committed practice is, we will at times in our humanness not be in alignment with, we will not be practicing that. And so, as you were making reference to, there can be times, there have been times in our relationship where we want to be fully listening to, hearing, understanding, valuing the other, and we're not in the moment. We're talking on the phone and emailing at the same time, usually emailing each other something, but we will have our regular moments where we're not fully present or listening to the other. And we can take on a commitment to any time that we are not fully present listening to the other, as you made reference to just stop and acknowledge that.
Yeah.
To be just authentic. And I think it takes a certain vulnerability also within this. And just say, for myself, Paul, I'm sorry, I didn't fully hear what you just said. I want to be fully present to what you just said, to hear you, to understand you, and I was a little disconnected. Could we pause for a moment and right, just and to just keep coming back to the practice? There will be many times where we just won't be fully there for the other, but we get to practice paying attention to when that happens and coming back to full presence as quickly as possible.
Yeah, and I'm really glad you brought that up, because it's not about using these tools to make your partner wrong for, or yourself wrong. It's a commitment to come back with compassion. You know, to acknowledge we've drifted off or something, we're communicating in a way that we didn't want to, and we're moving back to our commitment on how to be compassionate and loving and fully present.
Yeah. to make a choice to let love lead, to live from love, and anytime we disconnect from doing so, we have the commitment to come back to that as quickly as possible.
And I'm gonna give the other part of the triangle, and then I wanted to talk about, if you'd be willing to, the time I came down to Santa Fe. I'm just prepping you in advance, so you know I'm going to ask you about it. And the conversation we had on the way down there, that why I ended up stopping partway down. So just so that you understand where I'm going. So
okay.
One of the triangles is, if you want your lover to feel valued, how do you listen? The other way is, how do you communicate? And there's three parts to this. So on the left-hand side of the triangle, there's being conscious. And when I use the word conscious, what I'm talking about there is being conscious of two things. One is, what is the result that I want? And not being like fixated on it, but if I'm in the middle of a conversation and I start getting in an argument and I think about it, what is it that I really want? Oh, I want my love. I want to express love. I want my lover to listen to me. So am I communicating in a way that's likely to get that result? The other thing that's really important that most people don't think about is, which is more important? When you're communicating to somebody, what's more important, what you say or what they think they heard? And if you're the person listening, it's always what you think you heard. So part of what I'm going to talk about in this training, or maybe in a future one, is the feedback cycle. How do I check in and see what my lover heard? And part of the way I do that is just asking, can you tell me what you heard me say? Or if I'm listening, I might say, can I tell you what I think I heard? Because that way, we don't have nearly as many misunderstandings. So the first C is being conscious. The second C is being compassionate. And compassionate, to me, means meeting somebody where they're at. So if someone is hurt, meeting them there. If they're angry, meeting them there. If their feelings are hurt, I don't say, well, that's silly. You shouldn't feel hurt about that. I didn't mean to upset you. I didn't mean to make you mad. I meet them there. Oh, so you're hurt and upset right now and really needing some understanding. Got it. And the third one, which I don't hear much in loving communication, is about courage. And courage is a combination of bravery, but it's also, I think, from the French word le cœur, from the heart. So it's, how do you communicate bravely and from the heart? And what happens is intimacy seems to disappear when we stop communicating honestly and bravely. And intimacy can come back almost instantly when we communicate from the heart with compassion. And so that's why I was talking to Julianne about this specific example. Here's a great example. Rather than just talking in the abstract, here's an example of one that took all three. It took being conscious, it took being compassionate, and it took being courageous. So do you want to describe the story, or do you want me to?
Why don't you begin?
I'll begin. I'll
add on.